Okay, this week is Parashas Korach. It's the first week of Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is Tammuz Ve'av, of the 2 months that are in the domain of Esav, the time of Galus. And unfortunately, Korach begins with the Shoresh of all of our problems. All of the problems that are directly related to the months of Tammuz Ve'av, Sinas Chinam and Machloikis. And therefore it's not a coincidence that Parshas Korach is the lead-off for Chodesh Tammuz and Chodesh Av, leading into the Bein HaMetzarim. Okay, well, like I go too loud, then it's going to start squeaking. Alright. So therefore, that is something to keep in mind. We already have entered into the tkufa of the Bein HaMetzarim, when we focus on in machlekes, matters of machlekes. Rashi here says, opens up with something very mysterious that has caught the attention of the Gedolei Hadarshanim. First Rashi in this parsha is Parsha Zo Yofa Nidreshes B'Nedrish Rebbe Tanchuma. This parsha has been interpreted in the most beautiful way. Yofa Nidreshes in the Medrash of Rebbe Tanchuma. What exactly does that mean? I don't know. There are many interpretations. I didn't really look into it very much. The word Yofa, by the way, is a very complex word. What does it mean? What does it mean something is beautiful? So generally, the Yofa usually means when everything is in the right place. Yofi is, what is Yofi? Yofi is, let's say you have a person. A human being. A person has eyes, has a nose, has teeth, has hair. So some people have beautiful eyes. The Targum translates Rakos to mean Yofios. We translate Rakos to mean that her eyes were tender. Her eyes teared, were full of tears. She cried. Maybe she would have to marry Esav. But that's not how the Targum translates. The Targum translates it that she had beautiful eyes. That implies she had beautiful eyes, but the other features are not being presented. Like you ask a shidduch resume, you always want to know. You can see a lot about the person by what they do not say, right? They do not say. You can pick up. What? A good personality.
You gotta know it now.
She's not what? She's not beautiful.
The dollar sign.
You don't look further than that.
Okay, so the Pasuk says she had beautiful eyes. Okay, but what about everything else? Rachel, it says, V'rachel hoyesa, yifas toyar, yifas mare. Everything. The beauty was the toyar, the form, the appearance, the whole package, right? So, I mean, what are these things? So, therefore, what is yoifi? What exactly yoifi is? Well, you have eyes, you have teeth. Some people have beautiful teeth. Go to a dentist, they'll tell you who has beautiful teeth, who does not. Hair, okay? Who has nice hair? That's a very big topic. But sometimes when you have one thing that's beautiful and everything else is the other extreme, the yoifi does not come out. The yoifi depends upon its relationship to other characteristics, other elements in the big picture.
Why is it more say that Kalashem Yofa is Ein Tzricha Bedika?
Okay, so maybe eyes, Enechanami, eyes represent the whole package. Eyes may represent something that's more significant. But yoifi in terms of is always defined in terms of how each quality, how each characteristic relates to the other qualities and other characteristics. In other words, the setting is extremely important. If a person has beautiful teeth, but the jaw and the mouth is not proper, the teeth doesn't make a difference. If the eyes may be beautiful, but everything else about the person has to be proper, appropriate, in order to bring out the yoifi in each individual quality. So there's a remiss here. Now, this is not pshat, but parasha zoyofa nidreshes. When you go to the parasha Korach, Korach was making pretty heavy demands. Kol ha'am kulam kidoishim uvisoicham Hashem aldua tismasu. Everyone is the same. It's a free for all. It's a free for all. Everyone should be able to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Everyone should be equal opportunity. Moshe, you should be an equal opportunity employer. Why are you only giving the Malchus to this Shevet and giving Kun to this Shevet and you're cutting me out of the picture? It's not fair. Everyone should have equal opportunity. That's not Yof. That's not Yofi. The definition of beauty is where everyone knows their place. Everyone has their milus. Everyone knows their place. Everyone's beauty only is expressed when it's judged relative to other components, other elements, other characteristics in the big picture of things. The Yoifi of Klal Yisrael is where everyone does their part. The Kohanim do their part. The Levim do their part. The Yisrael Elim do their part. Yisrael bin Mamodam. And then there's a group of people that are roi for Malchus. There's a group that's roi to serve in the Sanhedrin. When everyone has a place, then there is yoifi, there is true beauty. Parsha zo yofa nidreshes. When you come to the end of the parsha, Moshe has succeeded. Moshe has taught Klal Yisrael an eternal lesson, a lesson of what yoifi is. Yoifi is everyone should know your place. It's not a free-for-all. It's not, we live in America, it's a tremendous bracha. The whole koyach of America, unprecedented world history, is where you can be whatever you want to be. You can even be the president of the United States. Even that you can be. No one's holding you back. Go out and look what's going on. Anyone can be whatever they want. There's never been such a bracha. But unfortunately, this bracha has affected us in a negative way. Because in Yadus, not everyone can be whatever you want to be. Not everyone can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not everyone is roi to be the Melech. Not everyone is roi to do different, even among the Kohanim. You had a set job among the Levim. The goal, the lesson to take out of this parasha is, after the machloikis was suppressed, the Korach was swallowed up, there was an eternal lesson learned in Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, it was a necessary event where we had to learn about the concept of yoifi. Of what does it mean, yoifi? Yoifi is only where, yoifi by definition means there are many components, and all the components have to come together. But in order for there to be beauty, everything has to be in the right place, in the right time, and has to, the yoifi of one quality is dependent upon the setting, upon where it stands relative to other elements that come together to serve the same function. Okay, I want to tell you another idea of what it means yofi. There's only one other place in this parasha where the word yofi is mentioned. Rashi at the end of the very end of the rebellion, when Moshe got very angry, at the end of the event, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to the machlekes of Korach, and Hashem says, you know what, Moshe, stand back. So what did Moshe respond? Hashem wanted to basically destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. That's how far the machlok is spread. Just because one person, Korach, he was rebellious, does that mean you have to go destroy the entire Klal Yisrael? So here is the only place where Rashi again uses the word yofe. Rashi says, let me just find the place. What pasuk? Vayich pasuk chavbeis. Kel kerukos yodia machshavos. Ein midascha kimidas pasuk v'dam melech pasuk v'dam shesorcha. Can love next Rashi. Ish echad. I'll call it tiksoif. Okay. I'll call it tiksoif. Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem responded. So here Rashi is filling us in the Hashem's response. Yofe amartem. Moshe, gut gesagt. He's saying something yofe. He's saying something that's beautiful. Ani yodea umoidea mi chata umi loy chata. Moshe, you're right. I will not destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. I will only destroy the people who are the actual sinners, the facilitators, the people who the enablers. Koirach, dosam vaviron. And the 250 men, everyone else will get off scot-free. And the word that Rashi uses is Yofe Amartem. So perhaps we can go back and we can have insight into the first Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says, Parsha Zo Yofe Nidreshes. There's a remes. It's not the Pshan, obviously. This one, and the word Yofe is only used twice in this Rashi, in the explanation of this Parsha. The beauty of this Parsha is in Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction. It's human nature. When someone challenges you, when someone tries to take you down, look what's going on in politics. Look how you respond. When someone insults you, you'll turn over the whole world. You'll destroy, you'll obliterate your enemies. Here, Moshe was challenged. The whole Klal Yisrael was gearing up against Moshe. It started with Korach, Oin Ben Peles, Dosan Aviron, 250 people. Hashem said to Moshe, I'm going to come to your defense. Ibadlu mitocho Edo Horo Hazos, this Edo Hazos, I'm going to wipe them all out. Who does that include? It's not really clear if it includes the whole Klal Yisrael or includes a much larger group. It includes, obviously, a very large group. Hashem is coming to Moshe's defense. The average person would say, bring it on. That's right. Let them have it. Show the world who's right and who's wrong. Let them have it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't want this. It's not what I want. Just because there are a few bad apples. You have to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. The reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu to Machlokes was yofe, was a beautiful reaction, was a beautiful lesson for us to emulate. Just because someone is attacking you, don't let the Machlokes get out of hand. Don't let it take on a life of its own. There are people who are guilty, deal with the problem. Don't let it become personal. Don't let it expand to an area more than it should. And that's the drush. This parsha zo yofa nidreshes. When you study the parsha, you will learn a lot of beautiful things. Primarily, the only other place where you find beauty. I mean, why is it beautiful? It's horrible. It's tragic. It's a terrible lesson for Klal Yisrael. What's the yoif? What's the yoifi? There's something that's extremely unique. It's a lesson how to react to machlokes, to be mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just because there's one sour worm, there's one rotten apple, we have to go destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. We'll deal with Korach. We'll eliminate Korach, and we'll go back to business as usual.
According to the Medrash, the Tanchuma of Rashi brings down at the beginning that Elitzur ben Shedeir was also
Elitzur ben Shedeir, yeah,
also involved.
No, he wasn't involved.
Yeah,
he was appointed. He was the catalyst because Moshe appointed Elitzur ben Shedeir to be the Nasi. Okay, so but they were part of the 250 men. Okay, but they were part of the 250. Fine, they were part of the guilty party. They were part of the 200. They were different category. They were part of the 250 men. Okay, but they were part.
Okay. People who instigated.
Okay, so yeah.
So what is the role then? The Musas, what, you walk away from a focus and it's taking place?
The Musas, don't let it get out of hand. Don't take it out of proportion. The Musar, no. The Musar is don't let it get out of hand. Machlokes has to be dealt with. The Yoifi is don't let it get out of hand. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the limits, how far he had to go.
Is that only the role of the leader? Moshe Rabbeinu is a leader of Kaisha. You're not a leader.
Every situation is different. Whatever the situation is, the lesson is the same. Don't take it out of proportion. Don't machlokes. You see over and over. This is a lesson that you see over and over, a million times over. Whenever there's a machlokes, go wait a couple of years later. Why do you hate him? I don't even know why I hate him. I don't know. It builds on itself. It takes on a life of itself. Deal with the specific issue, and that's it. It's a very big nesoyon in life. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel, you're getting carried away with yourself. That's what it says.
God sometimes to define the real problem sometimes.
So Hashem is different. Right. When Moshe says, Hashem says, Ish Echad, Yechete, V'al Kol Ho'eda, Yikzoif, and Hashem says to Moshe, Yofe Amartem. You said something very good. You said something that's Yofe, that's beautiful. Parsha Zo, Yofe Nidreshes. Has to be that there is a relationship between these two expressions that are used in Rashi. The Yofi of this Parsha is to know when to stop. Machlekes, yeah, there's a machlekes, you have to take a stand, there's no question about it. But you gotta know when to call it quits, and this was the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here Oin Ben Peles. Oin Ben Peles, a very intriguing individual. He's one of the four groups that joined the machlekes. The truth is there are only four groups. There was koyach, the instigator. Then there was Oin Ben Peles. Oin Ben Peles was an associate. He was like his best friend. He was a good friend of if Korach is rebelling against Moshe, you know, your best friend also has to join the fight, even though Oin Ben Peles had nothing to gain, absolutely nothing to gain. Then there was Dasan Vaviron. Dasan Vaviron were troublemakers from time immemorial, from day one. So others are machlekes. Wonderful, we'll join. They're the first ones that will join, even though they, because that's just their nature. And then there were the 250 people. There were 250 people who Chazal tell us were firstborns, and they were slighted in that the Avodah was taken away from them. They originally were destined to serve Hashem in the days of HaMikdash, and after the Chet Egel, the Avodah was taken away from the firstborns and given to the Kehanim. They felt slighted, and therefore they went and they joined Korach. Elitzur ben Shedeo, they are part of the 250 people. Yeah, I think so. Elitzur ben Shedeor were part of the 250 people. They had to gain that they would have done the Avodah. He was a Nasi who would have done the Avodah. He also, a Nasi cannot do the Avodah. He's not part of the Kohanim. He wanted to do the Avodah. He was one of the 250. There are four groups. Four distinct groups. From the four distinct groups, three of the four were obliterated. Korach was swallowed up together with Dasan Vaviram, and together with the 250 people, they were all obliterated. Now, what about Oin Ben Peles? So Chazal tell us that he had a very special wife. It's a very good parash for Sheva Brachos. Parashas. We want to contrast Oin Ben Peles versus Korach. Chazal say that the truth is, the instigator of the whole event was really not even Korach. It's an amazing medrash. If you want to give credit to the Baal Machlokes, it's the women. You know, in Rabbanis, watch out for the women. The women, they call the shots. The women call the shots. Chazal say that why got Korach all worked up? His wife. His wife said to Korach, look what happened to you. Maybe, I don't know. His wife said to him, what happened? Korach had beautiful hair. Okay, Korach had beautiful hair. Archup. He looked like Elvis. And what happened to Korach? He's a Levi. And it says back in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar that when all of the limb were inaugurated, part of the inauguration process was you had to shave off all of your hair bald. The sar. Bald, not a hair. Not only the hair, the beard, the payas, the hair, the bodily hair, every hair in your body was removed with a razor. And after that was done, Moshe picked them up and shook them back and forth in six directions like a lulav. So Korach comes home to his wife. She doesn't recognize him. I married you because you were Elvis. Okay? You had such beautiful, he's a Levi, no, he's a good singer, the Levim with the Meshayrin. And he had that big chup. What happened to you? You're bald, not a hair on your body. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu, I watched online, Moshe, he was shaking you like a lulav. What kind of thing is this? Who is this Moshe? This is what he does? You should be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So she flew off the handle. And she instigated him to go and rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. On ben Peles, what did she do? On ben Peles, on the day when in the day when they came to have the big meeting in order to get together, in order to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, On ben Peles, his wife, was just the opposite. She said to On ben Peles, "My husband, what do you have to gain from this machlokes? Manavshach. If you win, if Korach wins, you're going to be a nothing. You're not roy to do avod. You're not a firstborn. You're not going to be doing avod in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not going to have a leadership position. You have nothing to gain if Korach wins. If Korach loses and Moshe remains in power, you'll be the same Oin Ben Peles. You're a nothing, my husband. What do you have to gain? What do you need this?" So Oin Ben Peles says, everyone knows the marriage, so he says to his wife, "You're right, I have nothing to gain, but listen, he's my best friend. What are friends for? He's my best friend, I have no choice. So don't worry, you go take a nap. I'll take care of it." She stood by the door. She took off her tichel. Her hair was uncovered. The men came. The men from Korach came. They come to the front door and they see a woman without her hair covered. Oh, this is, you know, it was snat snius, lo tsanua. So therefore, we can't go into this house. We're doing it l'shem shemayim. We're coming kol la'am kulam kedoshim. We're erlich yidin, and we can't walk into the home where a woman's hair is not covered. We're not coming here, and therefore, she, with great cleverness, she saved her husband from the churbin that would have come to him had he participated in the rebellion of Korach. Okay. Now, the question, Chazal explain. Chazal explained that the wife of Oin ben Peles acted with great chokhmah. There was great wisdom in her actions. The question is, what is the great chokhmah? She did something which seems to be a little bizarre. What exactly is the great chokhmah? She took off her hair covering, she stood by the door, and that scared away all the men of Korach. So I want to make two suggestions. We just mentioned before that Korach, the entire instigation all began with the yoifi of here of Seir. It's a Feirush HaMedrash. Feirush HaMedrash, Rashi doesn't quote it, but it's a Feirush HaMedrash. Korach had beautiful hair. Korach was an exceptionally good looking person. Korach's wife instigated the entire rebellion because she was upset that her husband was more than just hairless. Korach, Milot Korach means he was bald. Kereach. It's all rooted in his name. He wasn't bald. Korach had beautiful hair. Yeah, they actually, years ago, they used to say that if you're losing your hair, a solution to baldness is to shave off all of your hair, and that stimulates your hair follicles that they should grow good hair. It's been proven not to work. It has been proven, I remember someone telling me about this years ago, it has been proven that if you take a shave all of your hair, you'll go bald even faster. Whatever hair you have, save it. Because by trying to stimulate your hair, by shaving off all of your hair, it's not going to have any effect. Korach was bald. Moshe shaved off his hair, and the hair did not grow back in the way that he liked. And this disturbed what?
That was the root of the problem.
This disturbed the wife. This is what disturbed the wife of Korach. She was disturbed that the yoifi, the beauty of her husband, the beauty of... It says this, based on their entire families, I believe so. I believe their entire family includes in Beisai Ela Ishtai, I assume where she was. So the beauty, the entire event was started through the instigation because of the beauty of the seer of the hear. This is what started, that she felt insulted that the beauty of her husband, which was captured in his hair. We know hair is something which captures the beauty of a person. The concept of nazirus is centered, is anchored in the beauty of a hair. Gadol sar peraroshai, it's the pe'er of a person, it's the beauty, and the person who grows beautiful hair, to shave it off, to take his yoifi and give it away to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No question about it, the hair represents a person's beauty. But there's also no question that the beauty that is found in the hair of a woman is infinitely greater than the beauty that is found in the hair of a man. And the proof to this is, Seyar be'isha, erva. a married woman, at least l'chol ha'pachos, at the time of tefillah, at the time of davening, has to cover her hair, at least that much. Why? Because the hair captures the yoifi of a woman. And it's not proper for men to be in the vicinity of a woman who has an estate of beauty, because it brings hir hurim, we don't have to elaborate, and it takes away from the person's ability to concentrate and to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment in time. Seir b'isha erva. When Oyin, the wife of Oyin ben Peles, uncovered her hair, and the men of Korach have come, they come into her home in order to recruit, to bring out her husband, what do they see? They see the yoifi, the beauty of hair. They see not just the yoifi of the hair of a male, of a man, of a nazir, of a person, of Korach, who's complaining about the loss of his hair, the fact that he's a kereach, he's bald. They see true yoifi. And what do they say? These are erlich people with long beards and a kapata, and they say, Seir b'isha erva. We're not allowed to walk into this makom. Seir b'isha erva. Sheker hachein v'hevel hayoifi. Isha yiras Hashem hi tishalo. Isha yiras Hashem. So when the wife of Oyin ben Peles uncovered her hair, she was giving them the biggest musar shmuz they could have possibly got. She was not just trying to save Oyin ben Peles; she was trying to save them all. She was trying. She would bed. It wasn't just let me save you, my husband. I'll save you all. The way I'll save you all is I will uncover my hair. They will witness true yoifi. They will be forced to recognize that it is shaloika halacha for them to come near me when I have my hair uncovered. And now that touches upon the Maimer Chazal, the depth of this inyan, of why is it so that a man may not come in the vicinity of a married woman in these private quarters when her hair is uncovered? Because sar b'isha erva, this represents the yoifi of an isha, and in the Jewish way, This is a breach of tznius, and the breach of tznius comes to the root of the pasuk sheker hachein the hevel hayoifi. Yoifi is hevel. The only thing is isha yiras Hashem hi tisal. So what are you doing, Anshei Korach? You're coming to instigate a machlokes to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu, who took us out of Mitzrayim, who brought us the Torah, gave us the man, because of the yoifi of your hair, the hair of the kereach, the bald man. Because this man, he's complaining that he's bald because Moshe Rabbeinu cut off his hair and shook him like a lulav. You're afraid of the yoifi of this person. You look at me who acknowledge Isha Yiras Hashem. It's all about Yiras Shemayim, Hevel is Yofi. She, by uncovering her hair, was trying not just to shake them away, she was trying to save them all. Unfortunately, they did not take the Musa. They did not learn the lesson of Musa. And they, at least, the very least, he escaped. But unfortunately, they did not escape. That's one possible approach to understand.
That's why they didn't want to take oil.
But they should have learned. There's a lesson for them to learn.
Not with us.
Right, but there's a lesson to learn from seeing. Why did she this technique? She could just say, "My husband is sleeping. I'm sorry. He's sleeping. You can't wake him up." There are many things that she could have done to hide him. He's not available. She did something. She showed them her hair. It's not a coincidence that the entire machlokes began with hair. And the proof is Korach. Korach means kereach. Kereach means bald. It all started with the loss of hair. The loss of hair is what started the entire process. And hair, there's no question, represents the concept of yoifi. And that is expressed explicitly in the sugya of the Nazir. The Nazir, the famous sugya with one of the Tanoim Amorim, he saw a child and he asked him, "Why did you decide to be a Nazir?" He said, "I was walking and I saw my babu, I saw myself, the reflection, and I saw how beautiful I am. I saw that it would be very easy for me to entice, to seduce women. it would be very easy for me to live a life of sin. I decide I have to put an end to this. I have to become a Nazir and cut off my hair, remove my yoifi. Women will not be drawn to me when I remove my hair. All the shame shemayim. We see from Chazal that yoifi here represents the concept of yoifi, and isha certainly represents the concept of yoifi. And with regard to an isha, Chazal explicitly say it's a beautiful thing to have beautiful hair, but you have to look at the big picture. And in the big picture, hevel hayoifi, isha yiras Hashem hi tisalo. So what are you people making believe? Call on kulam kedoyish v'seichem Hashem u'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. All about here. All about here. If when it comes to me, the isha, you recognize hevel hayoifi, look in the mirror. You should look at your own hair, and you should recognize Hevel Hayoifi, and the Iker is Yiras Hashem, and you should leave Moshe Rabbeinu alone and stand, cut out the nonsense. There was a Musar Shmuz that she was presenting to the people of Korach by exposing her hair. This is one approach I want to suggest to understand the depth of what exactly was going through the mind of Oin Ben, the wife Oin Ben Pelas. Now let's go to another idea. This is the idea. Now, this idea, today, we all are aware, it's all very, there's a lot of machlokes in Klal Yisrael, that's not a question, and people sometimes, they are pressed. Why are you fighting? Why do you want to, let's say there's a machlokes, who's going to be the Rosh Hashiva? You have two contenders. Who's going to be the rabbi? Who's going to be the yeshiva? And you'll hear this, you're not going to hear it, it's going to be a self-understood, it's not about me. It's not about me. I'm already, you know, I'm ready to retire. But I have children. I got children. I need parnasa for my children. If I'm going to be the rebbe, okay, you have a division in a chassidus. A rebbe, Achamev Eshem leaves the world, and there are two candidates to take over. And let's say the two candidates are both 99 years old, so they're not going to be very active for that much longer. So what's the machlokes about? It's not about me, because I'm not going to be around much longer. It's going to be the next generation, and the next generation. To whom will the malchus, will the nesius, will the leadership pass? It goes via Yerusha. This is the mitzius, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, but the mitzius is that positions of leadership, whether we like it or not, more or less go down via Yerusha to the next generation. So I have to make sure that it goes to the, it's about my children. There's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara talks about a woman by the name of Kimchis. Kimchis was a woman, a very holy woman, and she was the mother, or the grandmother, or maybe the great-grandmother, of multiple Kohanim Gedolim. And they once interviewed her. CNN had an interview, sat down with Kimchis, and they said to her, Bamezocha. What did you do in your life to merit the zuchus that your son, your grandson, your multiple children, they were all zeicha to serve the Klal Yisrael as Kohanim Gedolim? What's the secret to you? What's the secret? So she said, the secret is tzinius. I was a tzinua my entire life. Even the walls of my home never saw the Cyrus space. What?
Corridors.
What?
The beams.
It says the Koros Peso. All right, the Koros Peso, the beams of my home never saw the hairs on my head. My degree of tzniyus was such, not only in the public, even indoors. Obviously, this is a very big extreme. It has to be understood practically what that means. But there's the Dvarim Begaf. Chazal make the statement tzniyus. So here, let's go back to the original question. Oin Ben Peles. She says, the wife Oin Peles says to her husband, my husband Oin, you're a fool. What's in it for you? Just because you got a friend, Korach, next door, he's your buddy, you go bowling together. You have to go. Be Meiser Nefesh. What are you going to gain out of this? If you win, you're not roy to be a Koyen. You're not a Bechor. If you lose, you'll be the way you are now. There's nothing for you to gain. So that's where the Gemara ends the conversation. But we can perhaps suggest the conversation continued, like it continues today behind closed doors. And the conversation continued, you're right, my wife, I have nothing to gain. But what about the children? What if we have a child who's a Bechor? We have a grandchild. We just went to the Chumash party. He's the Bechor. If Korach will win, the Enoch, the children will be potential. My child, my grandchild, my great-grandchild, they will have potential for greatness. If Moshe wins, we're doomed. We're not part of the Shevet of the Levim. We're not part of the Shevet of the Kohanim. We're doomed. Nothing. We'll just be ordinary citizens, just a regular Tom, Dick, and Harry. We're not going to have anything special in Klal Yisrael. It's a good taina. So you know what she did? She says, she took off the tichel. Now, obviously, just symbolic. Symbolic. She took off the covering over here. And she says, the only reason why Kimchis was Zoicha, that her children were Zoicha to Gedula, was because of the extreme midah of Tznius. My husband, we're not on that level. By taking off the covering over here, she's saying, anyway, our children are not going to be winners in this machlokes. Kimchis, it's symbolic. Kimchis, by expressing she never took off the covering of her head, the children, there was a certain, we have raised our children with very high standards that they were royally gedula. She was telling her husband, by taking off her hair covering, you're making a big mistake. Our children are not roy for this gedula either. Just like you are not a bechor and you are not filled with gedula, our children are also not roy ligedula. And the example that Chazal give is the uncovering of the hair. And therefore, again, there's nothing for you to gain from this machlokes. If Moshe wins, you're certainly out of the picture. If Korach wins, you're gonna lose. And not only will you lose, the children also don't stand a chance. And don't fool yourself. You're blind to think sometimes ein adam roye nigei atzmo. A person can't see their own faults. A person can't come to terms, acknowledge that it's just not in you to achieve a certain degree of greatness. Not for you, not for your family. And therefore, it's kedai for you to stand down. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in the beginning of the parasha, we mentioned Korach. We have the Yichus. The Korach is called only three generations. We mentioned Korach ben Yitzhar, ben Kehos, ben Levi. What happened to Yaakov? Once already, we're going back to the great-grandfather. Let's go back to the great-great-grandfather. It should say Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi ben Yaakov. What happened to Yaakov Avinu? So Rashi asked the question, and Rashi says, V'loi hizkir ben Yaakov, shebikesh rachamim al atzmo, shelo yizocher shmo al machlo kusam. That his name should not be mentioned part of this unpleasant dispute. Shenemar, where do we find the Yaakov Avinu was mispal, he prayed that he should not be mentioned, part of the machlokes, bikholom, in their assembly, al techad kivodi, techad from the Lashon of chad, it should not be unified, I should not be one with them, my name should not be mentioned with their honor, period. And indeed, Rashi come out says the word mila back in the parasha Svayichi, where that pasuk appears, bikholom, al techad kivodi, Yaakov was mispalal, that he should not be mentioned. Der Agav, the Chavetz Chaim asks a very interesting question, if once for Yaakov Avinu he had the foresight, he had Ruach HaKodesh to see the Levi Machlokes, why didn't he pray that Korach should not do such a terrible sin? Why did he only pray that Yaakov should not be associated with the Machlokes? Let him be mispalel that Korach should not enter into the Machlokes to begin with. And the Chavetz Chaim says, such a tefillah is a tefillah shav. Every person has bechira chofshes. Every person has free will. You can't pray that a person should not do an avera. That's up to the person. However, that I should have to also suffer from this person's avera, that at least Hashem accepted his tefillah. Now, I just want to make one very small point. This pasuk of Bikhelam al Techad Kivodi comes almost immediately after Yaakov Avinu's words, Hey Osfu v'yagidu lochem, Eis asher yikra eschem be'acharis hayamim. Acharis hayamim means the end of days, according to all opinions. It means the time of Mashiach. It means the time, the Gula Asida, or maybe it means the time when it's Roy for Mashiach to come. We discussed that many times. There is no set time for Mashiach to come. There have been many Tekufos in the history of Klal Yisrael where Chazal have told us it was an Ace Mesugal. It was an opportune time for Mashiach to come. We squandered the time. But that did not come. This was not the time of Mashiach. The time of Mashiach didn't exist, at least not until the time of Shlomo HaMelech. That it seems to be clear. Time of the coming of Mashiach cannot happen until there's a certain time of history had to make its way through. So we're not here holding at the time of Mashiach. And yet Yaakov Avinu says, "Hey, Hasul, gather around. V'yagid lechem, Eis asher yikre eschem yachres hayam." He's holding at the end of days, and now he's giving brachos. And he starts with Ruvain, and he comes to Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi, he right away says, "Bekolam al teichad kivodi." But this event that he's referring to is in the near future. It's only his great great grandchild. It's not the secular year 2016. So the answer, I want to say, al derech drush is enochinami. This idea is a popular idea. I just want to connect it to this pasuk here is that there's a continuous machlo. Every generation there's a korach. Korach was not just in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. In every generation, especially at the time when it's mesugal. It's mesugal for the coming of Mashiach. There's always going to be a group of people that are going to rise up in the ways of Korach and say, "Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim." Everyone is the same. Everyone. Why only do the Orthodox have a right to the Kosel? Let the Reform have a place. Let the Conservative have a place. That's what's going on today. Eretz Yisrael. Kolam kulam kedoshim. And this is not only today, this is something which is true in every generation. The fact that this tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, "I don't want to be associated with Adas Korach," was said, the tefillah was said in juxtaposition with the pasuk of "Hey Osvu v'yagidu lechem eis asher yikre eschem bi'acharis hayomim," is an indication that this Korach here in Parashas Korach is not even the Iker Korach that Yaakov Avinu was referring to. This was a sideshow. This is another Korach. The Iker Korach that Yaakov Avinu is being mispalal, don't let my name be associated with, people should not look, this is Klal Yisrael. It's at times when Mashiach is mesugal to come. It's always a simen that when we're holding odd, it's a zman to kufa, when Mashiach can come, all of a sudden you find the Satan raises its ugly head in the form of a korach and an eder, and they make demands of Klal Yisrael who are true to tradition. Kolam kulam kedoshim. Only this group. Only this group? Umadua tisnasu. And they're dead wrong. They're dead wrong. It's absolutely wrong. That's the whole story of this parasha. But the point that they're making is it's something which reoccurs again and again and again in every tekufa that is misugal to be the achris hayamim. And without question, we're living now through one of those tekufos. We're living in a tekufa that's clearly by every standard and every possible definition is achris hayamim. And unfortunately, there are many different types of korachs that have risen their head with exactly these demands. Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim. Why do you Orthodox Jews think that you are special? We are special. That's the way it is. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to apologize for. Okay, let's go now to another idea. It's a big parasha. It's a long parasha. Parasha Korach. A lot of stuff is going on here. A long story in Korach. There are many details. Then after we get into the laws of Kohanim and Levim, Truma, Meiser, Pidyon HaBen, there are a lot of things to discuss in this sixth parasha. Then you have the Haftarah. So the Haftarah, there's no shortage of themes the Haftarah could have selected to emphasize, to magnify. We've got a whole Sifrei Nevi'im, there's plenty. Yet it's fascinating on what specific prat the Haftarah focuses on. It focuses on Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction. Moshe got very angry. Vayichar leMoshe meod. When Moshe heard about the rebellion, he got very. Rashi translates Vayichar leMoshe meod. Pasuk Tes Vav. It says Nitzta'er Vayichar. It's a very unusual translation for the word Vayichar. He had tsar, had great tsar. Ad leMoed. Very, very much. Vayomer, Hanani Moshe said, "Al El Hashem, Al Tevin Al Minchasam." And here is Moshe's line of defense: "Loi Chamor Echad Mehem Nosasi." All the things that Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, he said, "Ribono Shel Olam, I didn't take from these people a dime, a penny. I'm clean, squeaky clean."
There was no Air Force One.
No, we have nothing. I mean, it's loy chamor echad mehem nasasi. When they left Egypt, it says that each member of Klal Yisrael had 90. I don't know the significance of the word 90. 90 donkeys, 90 special donkeys to carry the Bizas Mitzrayim. Moshe went out empty-handed, not even a dime, because he went. Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef. He went to carry some bones. He went to the Yarden. He went to the Nile, to go dig up, to go and retrieve the Atzmos Yosef. And he didn't have time to go and get Bizas Mitzrayim. You would think that Klal Yisrael, 600,000 people, every single one of them is leaving a multi-millionaire with donkeys, 90 donkeys, carrying the Bizas Mitzrayim. Someone would give Moshe Rabbeinu a tip. I mean, after all, it's only Moshe Rabbeinu. He's responsible. He is the Goyel. He's the one that got them out of this mess. And he's bringing them to Matan Torah to receive the Torah. Nothing. I didn't take from these people a dime. I live a life of an oni ve'evi, and I have nothing. He got the psolos. That was the later thing. He got the psolos of the luchos. Psolacha. Nothing. And therefore, I don't deserve this. If you are a person of integrity, then there's nothing a person can say about you. Nothing. This is the key to success in leadership role. The key to success in being a leader, it's not your policies. It's not if you raise taxes, if you lower taxes, what counts is if you are a man of integrity, whatever you'll do, you'll be successful. That's the keys to success. And if you think this is a minor point of the parasha, just go to the Haftarah. From everything that you can possibly say, who would, if you were writing a guarantee, I can't guarantee anything, but if you would take a poll and you would ask Klal Yisrael, you select the Haftarah. Spend good 5 years studying Tanakh inside and until you know Tanakh on the back of your hand. You'll win the Bible, the Chidah Tanakh. And now, after your Bucky Muflik in Tanakh, we'll ask you, we'll give you the honor of selecting a section in Nach to serve as the Haftarah Parashas Korach. I highly doubt the average person would select what we have selected here from Shmuel. Vayoymer Shmuel alone. It's discussing the Tkufa after Shmuel already has anointed Shaul as the Melech. Vayomer Shmuel el kol Yisrael, hinei shamati b'kolchem. You want a king? I got you a king. L'chol ha-shamartim li v'amlech alecha melech. V'yata, hinei ha-melech v'salech. L'fneichem, v'ani zokanti. You should know he's basically telling the people, you've done a very big sin by asking for a king. You made a big mistake asking for a king. It was premature. V'ani zokanti. Vosavti uvonahinam itchem vani hisalachti lifnechem inurei arayom azeh hinani. And now he goes on to say this main point. Anuvi neged Hashem v'neged mishicho. I want everyone here in the entire Klal Yisrael. This is the thrust. This is the center point of his goodbye speech to Klal Yisrael. I'm now about to leave you. I've anointed for you Shaul. Eshor. Milokachti, is there any person here in Klal Yisrael that has given me an axe? V'chamor milokachti, is there anyone in Klal Yisrael who has given me, I've taken from them a donkey? V'yasmi oshakti, did I steal from someone? Did I take a bribe? Were there any kickbacks in my administration? Esmi ratsoisi, did I favor anyone more than he should have? Did I take basically a bribe to do anyone a favor? And I made believe and I covered it up. Was there any scandal, any cover up, any crime in my administration? The Yoshiv Lachem, and I'm ready to respond. I'm ready to take responsibility. And the answer is.
Did anybody?
Vayoimru loy. What?
Before that, he's telling them that he's. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he answered, was because somebody came in and. And asked about his
Shmuel's kids. Suspected. Yeah. Suspected.
Shmuel's kids who were the. He was old. He was getting older. Shmuel.
That was no. We're talking about Shmuel himself. We're talking about Moshe.
Did somebody?
He's asking. Nobody suspected him.
No one suspected him. Absolutely not. No one. That's exactly what he's trying to say. This is the point. This is what we select in the Haftarah. By Yomu, and they said, Lo yoshak tanu v'lo yratzo sanu v'lo yolokachta miyad ish mi'uma. Vayoymer aleihem ein Hashem bochem the eid meshicho hayom azek loy mitzvasem bimeuma vayomer eid. The thrust of the haftarah, from all of the things, it would really seem to the average person that it's a very irrelevant point in this parsha. Moshe gets very upset, and Moshe just happens derech agav to say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, these people, they're rebelling against me. You know, I've been so good to them. I took them out of Mitzrayim. I was Moshe Nefesh. You can go and you can enumerate a long list of chassadim that Moshe Rabbeinu did for Klal Yisrael. At the bottom of the list, you'll say he didn't take from them a dime. The Haftarah says, don't make light of this statement that Moshe Rabbeinu opens with. This is the most important quality of a leader. And the Haftarah comes to super magnify this point. And this is today an unbelievable Musar Haskel for us in our society, where we have all different types of communal leaders, whether it's in the Jewish world, whether it's in the world of politics, representing us. And the most critical quality that the Torah here demands is to be squeaky clean. Squeaky clean, not to have any chashash whatsoever to take a dime from a person shalai kidin shalai kahalacha. That is the parsha. Zehu, this is all you need to take away. And if you have this quality, then guess what? Like we said before,
you can't get elected.
What?
You can't get elected.
Not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And if you have this quality, you know, then whatever you'll do. If you have good kavana, I want to be native with Klal Yisrael. Raise taxes, lower taxes, do this, do that. We all know for a fact that what works for one politician is a disaster for another politician. It's all mazel. All the different techniques. Sometimes it works, does not work. If you have your honesty, you have integrity, there's a siyata d'shmaya. Whatever you do works. Whatever you do will be successful. V'chol asher yifneh hu yatzliach. Okay, let's go to.
Moshe wasn't successful with his wife. He wasn't successful with his kids.
Why wasn't he successful with his wife and kids?
It had to be brought back. His kids, his children.
In the media, Eliezer, they weren't there. I want to conclude with one last fart. Okay, let me conclude with one last svart. We have here something very bizarre. At the end of the parsha, after the magefa, after all of the events of parshas Korach, Hashem says, I want to do something that will serve as a sign for all generations that you should remember the event of Korach. I want Aaron to collect a mateh from the nesim of all of the tribes, and we're going to put them together in the oil moed, and we're going to go away. I'm going to come back the next day, and we're going to see which one of the matos will blossom. And the matah that blossoms will be a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a supernatural sign that it is this shevet, this person who I have selected to serve as my leader. And indeed, all of the scene, they brought their matos, Aaron brought a matah, and lo and behold, the next day, Vayotze Tzitz, that's the pasuk, Perach, Vayotze Tzitz, Vayigmol Shkedim, lo and behold, the matah of Aaron, it blossomed. Then Hashem says something very interesting. Hashem says, I want you to take the matah Aaron, and I want you to put it inside the Ohel Moed, l'mishmeres l'doyroi secher. I want you to preserve this matah for all future generations. L'nei Mary, not to. What's this all about? To take the matah Aaron, to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to sit there for all generations. First of all, Mekodesh HaKadoshim, not everyone gets to go. You don't even know what's in the... Okay, it's there, so you know what's there. You know what's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? What's the significance? So, I just came across a Medesh, which I think to some degree, at least Al Derech Drush, answers the question. The Medesh says that on the day... or during the Tkufa, these few days, this period when Korach rose up to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no man. The man suddenly stopped. There was no man. And what's the simple message of the? What's the simple message is that if you want to be zoicha to parnasa, there has to be shalom. When there's no shalom, when there's machloikis, this is it's a disease which affects the shefa, the blessing, the channels of parnasa coming down to this world. If there's machloikis in Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, "I am not sending down parnasa. Fend for yourselves." They had to. I don't know. They survived. Maybe they bought. They bought things from the people who traveled in the desert. But it says this explicitly in the Medrash when the machloikis of Korach broke out, the man stopped falling.
What other machloikis? The man stopped every time they went up.
It says only in regard to Korach. This was special, extra special, 5-star machlekes. The whole Klal Yisrael were involved in this machlekes. You know, they say that if we were living today, or if we were living in the time of Korach, Korach was so charismatic, was so, his qualities were so unique and exceptional. No one, Moshe Rabbeinu, would not stand a chance in this generation against Korach. There were certain rabbis that said that they know that if they were in the time of Korach, for sure they would have followed Korach. Korach was charismatic. He had all the right answers. He knew how to speak. Korach was someone to be dealt with. It wasn't just Pikech Gadol Haya. Korach wasn't simple. And there was a big machlekes. Many people took sides. The best of the best were misled to follow Korach. You want to have machlekes? Klal Yisrael? No parnasa. There's going to be a recession. It could be worse. There can be a depression. There can be terrible things. No parnasa. The machlekes came to an end. Hashem says, I want there to be a simen. And the simen will be put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim right next to the man. Now we understand. Putting the matev Aaron next to the man basically is the preservation of the man. Because just like there was no man when the what's the purpose of the man? What is the purpose of having man in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's a reminder. It's a Perish HaPasik, Parashas B'Shalach. It's a reminder that don't forget, Parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For 40 years, you were in a desert, a land of absolutely nothing, and I sustained you, I supported you. Hashem, Hayipole Me Hashem Davar. Hashem provides Parnasa. But when there's Machlekes, there's no Parnasa. What is the Mata Aaron? It's a reminder. No Machlekes. The Mata Aaron is not an independent object that is put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mata Aaron is put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to accompany the Mon. It's a preservative. The man gets stale after a while. You have to have preservatives. The Mata Aaron is the preservative of the man. It's to remind, when will there be man? When will there be a guarantee that you don't have to worry that the Ribbono Shel Olam will sustain Klal Yisrael even in the most dire circumstances? When you look at the Mata Aaron and you recognize that Korach was wrong, it's not Kola Om Kulam Kedosh Mosechem Hashem. There's leadership. There's no excuse for machlekes. There's no excuse to challenge your leaders. Then, when you'll recognize that Korach was wrong and there's no machlekes, then the man indeed will be preserved. But if you're going to forget about the Mata Aaron and there will be machlekes, then it's ki'ilu, the man doesn't exist. If the man doesn't exist in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have what to worry about. That in a chanami, there's not going to be man in Klal Yisrael. The Mata Aaron is not an independent object. The Mata Aaron is the preservative of the man in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Have a wonderful Shabbos.